Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here, and I am like you would be. I'd be all right to just sit there and listen to someone else, but I have been blessed many times by visiting ministers coming to our congregation in Cove, and I am in support of taking advantage of traveling ministers, and so to show my support, I am here this morning, and I stand before you in the fear of God. If you have been looking forward to hearing something from me, I'm sure you will be disappointed. But as we have already been looking into the Word of God and challenging each other to continue on in that kingdom, that's what I want to share about with you this morning. We bring greetings from the congregation there in Cove, and also invite you to come and visit, not because of who we are, but what God is doing for us. And we want to continue to be faithful there. And it's very soon the kingdom of God on this earth will be gathered together, and Christ will come and take his bride to be with himself. And may we be ready for that time. And that's the burden that I feel this morning. I've done some thinking about, you know, what can I as a human from a different state from 5 hours away come and inspire you here this morning? I feel like I know so little about you, and I believe, again, we give God the honor for that. His word is new, it's ever new. If we simply come to him and open the word with an open heart, knowing that he will fill us and he will bless us again with something new for us today that maybe we've heard it before, but maybe but it's certainly something we can, that can be renewed in our lives and continue to bear fruit for him. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. I've entitled the message, Overcoming Temptation. And I just want to take the text from James chapter 1, verse 12. And at the opening here, I want to read verses 12 through 16. By the title, we can understand that a couple things. One is it's important to overcome, and the other is that there is temptation is sure, and we need to overcome. It's our need to overcome temptation, and so we're going to define that the word temptation and look at overcoming and enduring. But first of all, let's read James 1, verse 12 through 16. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." We will stop there. Later on in the message, we want to go ahead and read that whole chapter and just draw out a few points. But as we think of the reality of the temptation, it's a real thing. And it says here, I like the way James blesses. He says that blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Or one, we could say, that overcometh. One that doesn't give in to it, but he is strengthened by enduring and by becoming stronger from one temptation so that you can overcome the next one We need to be careful how we consider that, because temptations are real, and as soon as we think that we've got it figured out, there is something else that will likely come into our lives that will test where we stand. And so it's a reality. Not that it's not possible, but it is something we need to be aware of, that there is two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ is one. And we have gone through the season of commemorating the death and suffering of the Lord. And Jesus bought us with his blood. He came to redeem us unto himself. And I am just blessed by the study of Christ's suffering and death, and how that he prayed for Peter. If you want to look at another verse here that I believe is very challenging and needful for us to know about, and as we think of overcoming temptation, in Luke 22, Christ was talking to Simon, and I believe we need to put our own names in this verse here. In Luke 22:31, thinking of overcoming temptation. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, you say I'm maybe pulling a few verses out of somewhere, but I believe it's important that we know of these scriptures, because our enemy, he is a destroyer of the kingdom of God. He doesn't care what tactic he uses. He doesn't care how little sin he can get you to be involved in. But if he's got a little bit in your life, he knows that it's going to be like that leaven that Brother Clayton talked about, and it will soon affect your whole body and your whole spirit. Maybe it won't change how you feel and how you live your daily life and what you do for work, but it's going to affect your spiritual life, and it will eventually kill you. It'll take the kingdom of God completely out of your life. And maybe you can still act like a Christian in part, but Satan is a destroyer of the brethren, and he wants to overpower us by his temptations, and those are the temptations that we want to think of overcoming today. So here is a brief insight on how Christ introduced this to Simon, and he's introducing that to us today in that same way, is that in reality, Satan is wanting to have each one of you. He wants to be in control of our life, whether it's simply by defeating us in small ways and keeping us frustrated with the Christian life, or however small he can be involved in our lives. He's okay with that, because he knows he'll gain on us sooner or later. In our weaker moments, he will overcome us, and he will take the wheat right out of our life. He'll take any good that's there. We know wheat is talked about in the Bible as a valuable seed, or something that's worth having. And he wants to sift that wheat out of our life and just work with chaff. He likes chaff. He's the master of chaff. He continues to bring more of that into our life. And in the kingdom of God, we need to remove that chaff from our lives and get rid of the sin and continue to identify whether it's part of the wheat or whether it's things that will bog us down and will weigh us down and destroy us. And so then Christ also knew, because he was on this earth and he walked this way before us. He was tempted like you and I will be and are. And he could understand what we were going to face and how important it was that he would intercede for us and hold us or present us to the Father, that we are ones that have claimed His blood for our sins, and that we can overcome. And so He said that I have prayed for thee. And so I believe it's important for us to put our own name personally there where Christ talked to Simon. And if we really want to overcome temptations, put your own name there and receive that prayer from Christ and understand that He is burdened for you and for I, that we overcome and that we will, that our faith will not fail. Our faith, and we're going to look at the importance of faith in overcoming temptation, but it's such a beautiful thing that He says that I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And it's so important that we know God, that we know first of all who God is and who Jesus is, and that He will continue to pray for us and that He will uphold us before the Father. And then He gives Simon a job to do. And He says that when thou art converted, he needs to strengthen his brethren. And that is done also again by our faith that does not fail, a faith that is completely unwavering. And James talks about that as well in his chapter there. So moving on then for right now, we'll look at just briefly at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 13. A very familiar verse. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Again, it's talking about Jesus in this verse. It talks about how there's the reality that we will be tempted, and yet there's a promise there that there is not going to be one temptation in your or my life that is beyond our capability, beyond our understanding, beyond of what our spiritual growth is, whether it's a new Christian or whether it's a one-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 40-year-old Christian or older, and it is possible to be faithful and to overcome. Overcoming is not something that we can just barely do, but we can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us, and that is Jesus, our King, the kingdom that we are a part of once we claim the precious blood of Jesus. So as we think of a definition just briefly here of overcoming or enduring temptation, like our text verse says, it means to bear with patience, to bear without sinking under the pressure, and bear without yielding. It's being convinced that faith in Jesus Christ is worth it. It is a reality. It's something that we need to have in our life to be a part of that kingdom of God. Temptation is simply the act of tempting or enticing to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. Now, isn't that the way Satan works? He says, well, you don't need to be that serious about your Christian life. Maybe the details of your clothing that the church desires to uphold is a frustration in your life. Maybe he uses that many times, I believe. And no, the plain suit isn't going to carry us into glory. But, you know, God established the church. Christ came to this earth and He established the brotherhood. He established His bride here on this earth. And the simple things that we have agreed to be able to remind us to how we identify with Christ and with His body are important in our lives, and they're important in the Christian life. And so it's very needful for us to overcome those temptations and to simply lay down our personal will for the cause of the brotherhood, for the cause of the kingdom of Christ. He uses many of those enticements to tell us that it's not that important. Just remember, Satan is a destroyer of the brotherhood. He wants nothing more than to put frustration, confusion, and all these many things into the bride of Christ, the local bodies that are, if there's something good that Christ has established and that is working out because people have humbled themselves before God and have submitted themselves to one another. Satan wants to destroy that, and he doesn't care who he uses, which one of you he will use to bring havoc and to bring turmoil within that. And so may we take responsibility and take the challenge as brethren and sisters and young men and young women for the Lord, that we would not allow these little things that you say, well, they're just such a little thing. What's the big deal? Well, if it's so little, then why do you make such a big deal of it? Why do I have to make it a big deal if it's not that big of a deal? And so that's how Satan works. He tries to tell us that it's the other people when it's really starting within my own heart. And so may we look at our own lives first and make sure that we are surrendered and that we are walking a Christ-like life in the first place. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 9. As we think of overcoming temptation, I was very blessed by, again, considering the Lord's Prayer. As we think of faith and how that Christ is interested in us, and in Matthew chapter 6, we have the Lord's Prayer, and I want to point out several things in that prayer that can help us to overcome. And before we move on here, I'd like to just invite whoever wants to stand, and I would like us to all pray this prayer together. Let's stand. Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. The disciples here, when Jesus was on earth, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples to pray. And this is what he instructed them with. And again, I believe it's so many times in my Christian life, we have, and even throughout my life, I don't ever remember not knowing the Lord's Prayer. It was prayed in the home I grew up in, and my parents, they taught us that from, I don't remember not knowing the Lord's Prayer. And I believe it's important that we not only say the Lord's Prayer, but that we would pray the Lord's Prayer. He says here in the last verse that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Satan wants to use the Lord's Prayer to tell us, well, you know, if I guess God didn't lead you out of temptation then. And too many times he wants to tell us so we can feel free to blame the Lord for not doing his part. But I believe that we need to consider the rest of this prayer. Jesus specifically gave us this teaching, and I believe it's very well put, how that we need to pray that he would not lead us into temptation. And we read there in James that God does not tempt any man with evil. And so we must remember that as well. So I believe the interpretation here is that we would be aware enough of our surroundings and the attacks of the enemy, the temptations that are coming to us, that we would realize whether this step here is going to take us closer to God or whether it's going to draw us further away. Is it driving a wedge between my brother and I or my sister and I? Or is it going to make us more Christ-like? Is it going to help us to have that power? Are we going to be delivered from evil? Well, we have to desire to be delivered from evil. We have to have that desire to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There's so many scriptures we could turn to and look at that give us that power and that will help us to be delivered if we but ask. And he says in the beginning part of this prayer, first of all, that we recognize who we're praying to, and that is our Father. And we have to believe that he's there. And so many people today just want to reason God out of this world and say, well, they don't really need him. And yet, those same people would, in reality, they do recognize that there has to be something more than just themselves. And because that's how it is. God made us that way, to want to reach out to our Heavenly Father and to bless his name and to realize that he is there in heaven and that it's him that we need to honor. And then it says in verse 10, we are commanded to ask for our daily bread. Physical. I believe that's a physical thing. And I think it's a very beautiful teaching that we have been brought up with as Christian people, that we pray before we eat and we thank God for the blessings of daily bread. But then there's another thing that in verse 12 that I believe is so entwined into this prayer. And it says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, if you want to go further into that and look more at forgiveness, that's another subject that we can preach on for months. And we need to preach on that on a daily basis and remind ourselves of forgiveness as it's a way of life. For the Christian, forgiveness is something we do every day and we need to. It's a part of the teaching of non-resistance, and it's a part of the teachings of Christ. It's Jesus all over again. And so if he says here to forgive us, we need to ask our Heavenly Father to forgive us our debts or those that we have offended. The debts here, I don't believe, is just a monetary debt that we have accumulated through the week. But it's a indebtedness to our brethren, to our sisters, to our neighbors, to those that we mingle with. Have we offended someone? Have we willfully done something that we knew we should, that would hinder the cause of the kingdom? And those are things that we need to ask for forgiveness for, and we need to be aware that God will forgive us based on how we forgive others, our fellow men. And if you want to read further of that in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, he also talks about that, and it says it a little different in different words. But I believe here that us being not led into temptation hinges very much on verse 12 as to how I can forgive the one that has offended me, and how I am willing to, whether I am willing to lay down that difference, whatever it might be, and to look beyond the offense and see the offender or the person that I feel is out of place, to see him as my equal and not someone that is to be stepped on and walked over, but to simply allow them to allow them to be saved, allow them to be acceptable in God's eyes the same way as I am. And so that I'm not coming between, or I don't allow the relationship of me not forgiving someone else, that relationship will not become a barrier between myself and the relationship of Jesus Christ in my life. And I believe that's very important, that we would That we would be forgiving. Not that we would overlook sin in someone's life, but that we would simply look past the offense and continue to lift them up, to pray for them, to be able to desire God's love upon them, so that not that it would be for a selfish reason, but that God could be honored and that person could be an asset in the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of that forgiveness there. And I believe it's all intertwined and connected to being to having victory and to being able to overcome temptations that we face. And so may God give us wisdom as we not only say the Lord's Prayer, but as we pray the Lord's Prayer, whether it's a daily habit of ours or not. But I believe it's a good prayer to have in your mind and to think about that from time to time and to really consider it. And if it does become a habit for you to say the Lord's Prayer without actually praying it, bless the Lord for that and then start praying it again. Because it's much better to have that on your mind and to go through that than to not pray at all or not even say a prayer. So it's a challenge that we would overcome that temptation too, to just to become a robot. But may we be on fire for the Lord, and that we would, when we realize that we are becoming a little humdrum and just going through motions, that we would allow God to help us to make that meaningful again, and really truly forgive those offenses that want to come between us and the Lord. So three points that I want to briefly look at in that I feel are very the scriptures teach us that are very important in overcoming. And that is, the one is that we have a faith in who God is. And that's that faith that we talked about that Jesus told Simon, and he's telling us that our faith would not fail. We have to continue to believe that God is there and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Number two is that we would pray in faith. One account Jesus mentioned with a grain of mustard seed, he said that if we would have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could pray that this mountain would be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. And I don't know which one of these mountains you are, where there's been mountains here in this valley that you have put into the sea. But I believe that is possible. And I believe the mountains that he's talking about are experiences in our life and in your life that seem like a mountain out there or right in front of you that you have no way of removing from your life on your own. And that if we truly believe that God is the creator of that mustard seed, and then he can make very great things happen from very small things, then we need to water that seed of faith in our lives and simply grasp a hold of that and say, yes, Lord, I believe, and help my unbelief, and to continue to pray. And we will see that mountain moving. And it will become smaller. And after a while, it won't be there anymore. It won't look like that mountain anymore. It will look different because God has given us different eyes. He has allowed us to see through the eyes of faith. So we need to pray in faith, believing. And then number three is to read the Bible in faith. And if we can't just stop there, we have to obey it. If we truly believe, we will obey it. We will bear fruit in the kingdom of God. So as we think of point number one, faith in Almighty God. Genesis 15, verse 1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It takes faith. Abram, God told him this of himself before he had given him a son, before Abram had gone on his long journeys to where God was going to lead him. He didn't know where he was going to lead him, but he was willing to step out in faith and pack his bags and start traveling. And he went the direction God told him. And so it was a step of faith, one after another. And God led him, and he worked in his life, and it glorified him, it honored him. And today we're sitting here around the Word and blessing God because of what he did in Abram's life. And that's what we're here for, is to honor God so that the young people and the young children that are coming after us will remember that it is a life worth living. It is real. It's something we need in our lives. And God can move mountains. He will be our God as he was Abram's God. In Psalm 95, it says, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Exodus 17, it talks about the children of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Just prior to this experience, the children of Israel had been led through the Red Sea. And you say, well, how could you forget that? I mean, was there God? Was there a God? I mean, who led them out of Egypt anyway? It was Moses, and by God's help. But yet they had these mighty experiences. There was huge miracles. You say, well, they were kind of silly to question whether God was there. What about us? What are we doing in our lives? Are we questioning God and his power, his realness in our experience? And but there again, we have to remember it's Satan that so quickly wants to blind us and get us turned around and think of the physical or the natural difficulties that we're facing and allow those mountains to grow in front of our eyes. But God wants us to continue to trust in him, bring our cares to him, walk with him, and see through the eyes of faith that he is there with us, and he is going to help us overcome. Praying, believe, but that we would pray and believe. Number two, pray believing. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, and it's our native air. It is something we must do. In Matthew 26, I just want to give you about three or four different verses here. We're running out of time. But it talks about in Matthew 26, 41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That was when the disciples were with Christ there in the garden. They were a stone's cast away from where Jesus prayed that agonizing prayer where he sweated drops of blood because his hour was coming upon him where he would need to give his life if he would ever do it. It was coming right down to that crucial time of when he would give his life for the sacrifice of our sins and the sins of the whole world. And he told his disciples to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he knew that in their minds they wanted to, but their flesh was weak. And so many times we find ourselves right there. In Mark chapter 14, 38 says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak." You know, we make that commitment to live for Christ, and then we face reality. And there's many things that get thrown at us, and Satan has some fiery darts that he throws at us. And yet, may we continue to hold up that shield of faith. That thing of forgiveness in Luke chapter 11, verse 4. and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, those attitudes and those human relations that we have to think about so many times. I'm sure there's situations that each one of us can think of that every now and then when you're praying, certain people and situations come to your mind. And I believe that God allows those things to come to us to see what we're going to do with them. But I believe we need to forgive, pray and forgive, and pray believing that God will work this out. And if we surrender our lives and we bring ourselves and our selfish ways and our selfish desires and lay them down at the cross and allow God to show us where we could have been a better person in that situation. And may we continue to do that. And the other thing in James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you know, I'm not sure if we'll have time to look through the book of the chapter of James here this morning, but that is one verse that I believe speaks to every one of us as we think of overcoming temptation and to truly pray in faith. And not only that, but that we would confess our faults one to another. And I believe it's right that as we have come through the communion time and looked at our lives and considered where we are with each other, you know, our relationships with each other and with the Lord. And I believe it's a beautiful time for us to reflect back and to think of what Christ has done for us and bring ourselves up to date a little bit. And I think that's not really a very comfortable term to say that, to just have it be that we would bring ourselves up to date with each other. But I think it's right. The Bible teaches that we should consider our relationship with God and one another. But may we stay on a current right relationship one with another. And that when there are faults and there are misunderstandings, that we would be quick to lay down our own will and confess our faults and pray one for another, that we can be healed, not only physically be healed. I mean, it would be nice if there was no sickness in this world and that we could go on living pain-free for a while. But God has seen it best that we would live in this body and that we would face trials and that we would be able to overcome because of these things. So may we pray in faith one for another and continue to forgive each other. Then that third point, read the Bible, believing and then obeying. Be grounded in the Word. Luke chapter 8, verse 13 through 15. It says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It's speaking here of the good seed, the seed, the sower that went forth to sow, and what that seed can do in our lives. You know, we live in a society, I've heard it numerous times in the last several years, that someone has this, and this was told me by a friend. He knows of the Lord. He does not want to live for him. He has no time for Christianity because it would be too life-changing for him in a real way. But he has this expression of someone had this come to Jesus moment. And Satan uses those terms and those kinds of moments sometimes in people's lives. And I believe that's, I don't want to speak lightly of that, but I believe that here in this seed program, this sower went forth and he planted many seeds. And the seed is God's word, and there's many people that will hear, and they see it, and they know it. They know it's there. There's Bibles all over the land. It's still, I believe it's still known to be the number one seller of books is the Bible in the world. And that's an awesome, that's a beautiful fact that we can rejoice and praise God for, because our enemy Satan, he is working hard to destroy every copy. But as long as the world stands, I don't believe that God will allow that, because his will is that all men everywhere would be saved. And so God's word will always stand, and maybe we won't always have a copy of it, but God's word will always be there. And so there's people that have this come to Jesus moment where they know, they recognize that there is truth, and they can have it if they want it, if they will crucify themselves, if they will meet the conditions to cry out to God and repent of their sins and turn from it. The option is there. But when that moment is past, they continue to go on. They stay in the way of temptations, and there's things that they don't believe. Their faith is weak, and they don't allow that to grow. And so then it's choked out by the cares and rich of this life and the riches and pleasures, and no fruit is produced. But there's one way that we can overcome those temptations, and that is by creating, continuing to work, allow God to work the ground in our hearts, that it would be good ground, and that we would have an honest heart. And a good heart, it says in verse 15. And so when we hear the word, that we don't just snooze on and, you know, life will go on, but that we would receive it, that we would keep it, and that we would allow it to bear fruit with patience. Overcoming temptation. I trust that these scriptures, the things that we've talked about this morning, can really be an encouragement to us. Like I said before, if it's not God's word, I trust that it will fall by the way, and that we want God to be honored by everything that is said here. Turn with me yet in closing to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor. And I would encourage you to, as you have time, I know we all have schedules to meet, but there's one thing that's more important than anything you can do in this life, and that is to feed your spiritual being with the bread of life. I know our brother in Sunday school challenged us to read the surrounding scriptures of next Sunday's lesson, and I believe that's good. But I would encourage us to continue to be in the Word and to read the Word of God every day, and not just a few verses, but continue to open ourselves up and believe what the Word of God is saying. So let's just read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Thinking of overcoming temptation and what we need to do this week as we face the enemy, as we face the reality of the daily things that you're involved in. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May that be our armor. May that be our, may we use the word of God to overcome. The closing verse I'd like us to think about in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." In verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." One last verse in Revelation 3:10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." May God bless each one of you as we continue to be overcomers. May God bless.